Are you for?
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
What it is, beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA season two, and we're thankful to have you join us today. Yes, I'm your boy LA, aka Lonzo, aka Mr. Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Today with me, my friend, Pastor Bernadette Martin in the house. How are you, Bernadette?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. So happy. As I was saying before we started recording, feeling better. I know I actually had some people could tell that I was feeling under the weather from the episodes last week, but feeling much better now.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, how's your week, man?
It's been a pretty productive week.
Good. Hey, this is the last weekend before we celebrate the birth of Christ, man. Yeah. You have any plans?
Now I'll be doing some sermon prepping for Sunday. You know, it's Sunday before Christmas, and so... you know, and getting all the hustle and bustle of the season out the way, the last minute shopping and
yeah,
all of those good things us procrastinators do. So.
Yeah. Hey, I used to, and I kind of do it now too. I wait to Christmas Eve. I get this big rush just going into the mall on the 24th and just doing it old school style, selecting gifts that way. So. Yeah.
I was actually talking to my spiritual mother, and she said she liked to do that, you know, just for the experience.
Yeah, that's I like that word because it is an experience. And I feel like I'm on my A game when my back's against the wall, time's running out, you know, you just really have to step up. So, yeah. Hey, how do we keep the... since we're talking about Christmas, how do we keep the focus on, like, the true meaning of Christmas with all the focus on gifts and more gifts? What are your thoughts?
I believe that we have to constantly keep the true reason for the season at the forefront of our mind. I'm not sure. I know some people celebrate Advent and some don't, but like with the Methodist Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, mm-hmm. we do Advent. And so it starts the first day of December, and mm-hmm. it'll take you through the 25th, but every Sunday we have a word. And so the first Sunday of Advent is hope. The second Sunday is peace. The third Sunday is joy. And the fourth Sunday is love. Wow. And then like if you're having service on Christmas, uh-huh. you know, it's Jesus. And yeah. so I believe that we constantly have to keep the Christmas story alive.
Amen.
And know that in all of our gift giving, the best gift, the greatest gift that was ever given was Christ.
Yes.
Was well, coming and, you know, save us from our sins, save us from ourselves. And that's the best gift that we could receive. And that's the best gift we can offer others during this holiday season. You know, offer them Christ.
Yeah. Well said. I love it. It seems like when I was growing up, it was just, It still was, there was a focus on the commercialization of this, but it still seemed like there was more focus on what you said, the greatest gift of all, and really being there for one another, and the gift of love. It just, I think the more money that got involved in this, the more we move away from that. But I like what you just said. I have this thing that I do every year. They're like these Christmas movies and Christmas television episodes that I watch every year. I have a list. But one of my favorite Christmas movies, and it's ironically, it's not a Christmas movie per se, but it's called The Kid with the Broken Halo with Gary Coleman. You probably never heard of it, have you?
No, I have to check it out.
It's pretty cool, but he's in heaven. In order to get his wings, he's sent back on Earth to really remedy the issues of three families. And the moral of the story, by the end of the day, once the people the families who had issues or problems figured out that the helping out others kind of diminished their issues. And I just love that part of it. It's like really being there despite what you're going through, helping other people. It is just such a great. And so they used to play it during the Christmas season for years. And then they stopped it as time went on. But yeah, it's a great Christmas movie. Look it up. I think it's on YouTube. That's how I look at it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to look at it.
Let me know what you think too. And when we come back, I'm having this interview with Rodney, and he is titled Something to Think About. And I don't want to jump the gun per se, but I do know that it's going to center around pastors' wealth, or some pastors and their wealth, or and really some things or concerns he have about tithing. I'm hoping I'm not jumping the gun, but I know from past conversations he's mentioned this, so I knew he wanted this platform. I said I would give it to him because that's really the essence of what our show is about, really having discussions that a lot of people have shied away from. But I'm pretty firm on my position. But yeah, what are your thoughts, Bernadette?
My thoughts on tithing.
That or the wealth of some of the pastors' wealth. I think, and again, I don't like speaking for others, but I know he has shared that he felt like some pastors make too much money and they should be giving more to members of their congregation or people in need. So
the wealth of pastors and tithing. Well, they can go hand in hand, but they don't necessarily, because some pastors you have, there are some pastors who are bivocational, meaning that they pastor full time and they also work a secular job, if you will, full time.
Yes.
And so just like, members and congregants have to make it, pastors also have to live.
Yes.
And the tithing piece, I'll bring that in at this point. When we pay our tithes or give God the first fruit of our labor, I think a lot of churches automatically think that all the money that's raised in tithes and offering goes to the pastor, and that's not so. Mm-hmm. Churches have obligations that they have to meet. Some churches, we have budgets to meet annually. Yeah. And then there are the salary pieces of not only the pastor, but also other staff members, such as musicians and sometimes secretary, you know, other admin support who are on payroll.
Yes.
And then just like we have in our homes, you know, we have utility bills that we have to pay. And also in tithing, there are mission pieces that churches do. So all the money doesn't go to the pastor. And another thing about tithing, a lot of people think that tithing is just money.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not just, you know, our earthly possessions. But we give, we can pay our tithes and our time and our talents.
Like everything you said, and I had a, there was someone else who said something similar about that, like, his opinion was that, hey, a pastor can have a full-time job and then minister. And I remember him saying, well, they're just preaching on Sunday and then doing Bible study. And I'm like, wow, there's so much more. People just don't see the sick and the shut-ins. You know, just people in need, people who transition, you know, preparing for funerals. It goes on, counseling. And so there's just so much work that people don't see behind the scenes. But I am really interested to hear what direction he goes with this. And I really appreciate your thoughts on it. I would let you join in, but you might beat them up too bad. And I don't know. Nah, I'm just playing. I know you'll be fair and open to him. And he actually is a really bright individual, so I'm just really looking forward to the discussion, you know, and if it sheds light a little more on what is involved in ministry. And to your point again, I was going to say that too. Somebody got to pay the lights. The church needs to work in order to operate. You need the lights on, you know, you need water, you know, you need those utilities. So I'm just really looking forward to the conversation. I didn't mean to cut you off. Were you about to say something?
No, I was just about to add that, you know, just like we have property taxes, churches also have taxes and other obligations that some people wouldn't even think of. You know, the upkeep.
Yes.
Churches, all of those things you have to consider. And I like what you said about people think that pastors only preach on Sunday. But a good pastor would have like three different roles that they keep. There's the preacher who delivers the word of God on Sunday, and you just don't get up Sunday morning and prepare your sermon. You know, all week long, you're talking to God.
That's right.
You know, you're studying, you're developing, and then even up until the point where you get up to deliver that word, you know, you're constantly in prayer, you know, seeking the face of God. So it's the preacher. Then you have the pastor, who does like the pastoral care, the counseling, and like you said, going to see the sick and shut in. And sometimes, you know, as a pastor, you can get a call at 11:59 at night, and, you know, telling you that you have a member who's lying at the point of death.
Yes.
You don't tell that loved one that, okay, you keep me abreast of the situation and I'll come by in the morning. No, but a good pastor, you know, will get up and make their way to the hospital and pray with the family and just sit with the family. And then you have the administrative part, the administrator and the pastor, you know, that keeps, you know, that makes sure the books are together, you know, that, you know, the team is together, and, you know, you develop the annual vision for that year, and all of those things that go into play that some people know nothing about.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, and coming from a pastor, and I've always thought this even before I was called into the pastorship, but, it's a heavy but honorable role to be called to. And you have to be called.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You summed it up perfectly. There's nothing else I can add to that. So thank you, Bernadette. And when we come back, something to think about with Rodney. See you on the other side. Listen, listen, listen. You have to get a taste of Treats of the Ram, man. Two sisters who love making treats for special occasions, or if you just want to treat yourself. Hey, listen, you can find them on Facebook. You can find them on IG. Or you can email them at treatsoftheram@gmail.com or give them a call, 910-322-3667. Treats of the Realm. All right, beautiful people, we are back. And now it's time for something to think about with Rodney. And so, Rodney said he wanted to discuss this. Let me think about a pastor's wealth. And I want to give my listeners the backstory. I was trying to figure out the best way to say this, but my good friend Rodney and I were having a discussion. And let me say this. Let me not put words in his mouth. He can speak for himself. Rodney, what's happening, my brother?
Good morning, Lo. What's the word?
Nothing much, man. Hey, I agreed to give you the floor. We talked about this. And really from the beginning of the show, we always want to have discussions that Christians are curious about, want to talk about, but there's never been really a similar platform addressing these topics. So I want to have these discussions, but just thinking about the right title today. I know we had a discussion about a number of things. Tithing, do you call it pastors and wealth? Where does the money go? I'll let you start. I'll give you the floor.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely.
I'm very proud of your show and you. I think you've done some awesome job getting the word out and sending out life-changing messages. Only thing I want to speak on, I guess, you know, this world of the internet and the different reels and just this video instant news now. Back in the day, you didn't have things as readily available as you do now. And just some of the things that caught my eye and piqued my interest and wanted to get your thoughts on it in a little conversation. When you hear about these mega churches and the pastors and asking for jet planes and God wanting them to have jets to get around the country and thinking about the congregation and that come and supply these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just goes back to money and the church. And the people that give. So I just wanted to run some things by and hear your opinion on them and just speak to the people and just give them something to think about when they're giving.
I appreciate that because I think part of the things when we talk about our faith, sometimes we feel what word am I looking for? Like chained or prohibited from just speaking about things that we question. And I think it's natural. It's curiosity can definitely come into play when you talk about faith and wealth and among other things. The private jets, you know, it is a concern to some. And I think mainly because they're extremely expensive, for lack of better words. And but what I will say is it takes money to finance a ministry. Churching takes
Absolutely.
Money. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So and depending on how widespread that ministry is, It could be for convenience, of course, but also for privacy. If you have your family, your, you know, your staff, and you can go to many places around the country or around the world at a different, you know, in a more timely manner, and you can do it privately. And also, if you have the funding to do this, that's the other question. In all cases, we don't really know where the funding is. It out of their own salary, their own bank account, or is it the church paying for it? So those are the different those are the ways that we can look at it when we talk about the Jets.
Exactly. And before we really get into it, let me put out this disclaimer. And I want to say that the views and opinion expressed by Something to Think About with Rodney are not the views and opinions of the Unknown Preacher LA. And when I do speak, I don't speak in terms of all.
Yeah,
because I know there are some great ministers out there, some great pastors and preachers that are out there doing it for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
So when I say this, I don't mean all, and I don't mean it's not inclusive of everybody. So I just want to, you know, that there are some, but I'm not putting everybody in the same basket. Yeah. So with that being said, and the way you speak of it, yes, because I think the church is a business while doing the business of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, you know, it costs to keep the lights on. It costs the heat. It costs to cool. It costs to keep upkeep of the church.
Yeah.
I was raised in a very small church. It's an old church. Very few people in the congregation. And they would collect just enough to keep things going. They weren't overly abundant and with a lot of cash. It just they were getting by. They were just striving and getting by. Yeah. And it was a pastor come in, and he wanted to change all the pews, the seating in the pews to a different color because he liked that color. The church was barely making enough to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
So those type of things, if he was willing to pay for it out of his salary, then that's fine. Nobody would have an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to talk about the ones that live this extravagant lifestyle. And you've seen them on the internet, and I've seen and heard them. And then there are some that are local that, if it's a part of your salary and you can afford to do that, that's fine. If you have another job in other than the church, that's fine. But when you see them coming in these nice, big, fancy cars and Cadillacs and Mercedes and nice cars, and your congregation members are getting off the bus or they walking to church, and they're giving their last few dollars because they believe that that's what God wants them to do, and that's what they need to do to stay in God's good graces. I kind of take issue to that because I think I'll go back a little bit further with, you know, with tithing.
Mm-hmm.
They say, you know, you're supposed to give 10%. And, you know, tithing is from the Old Testament law. And so, yes, we are taught to give, but not a certain amount.
Uh-huh.
And they put this 10% tax on there. Uh-huh. According to 2 Corinthians 9.7, we are taught to give in according to what we have in our hearts, to give not reluctantly, not under compulsion, meaning no pressure, but of our own free will, because God loves a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, this 10% thing and then feeling guilty about whether you can afford to give 10% as opposed to whatever you can give. Yeah. I have heard, and I don't know this to be fact, but it was pretty highly rumored that there were some churches that would ask to see your pay stubs.
And
they would confront you if you weren't paying your fair share or what they felt like you should be paying in tithes. Those are the kind of issues that I think people should give what they can give, and nothing be said about it. You know, I used to joke with another friend of mine, pastor. I told him when he graduated from theology school, they gave him a diploma and the keys to a Cadillac. And he smiled, but I don't think he took it too jokingly.
Yeah.
But you just see the wealth. And I see the wealth there with other people struggling to make it day by day because they feel like they have to give so much.
Yeah. You said a whole lot. I'm gonna try to unpack on my end. And I think I guess I'll start with the Corinthians because you mentioned the Old Testament versus New. And I think like Jesus and then to Paul in Corinthians, and also we can go to Timothy, but Paul was doing just like Jesus in the New Testament, trying to bring clarity to what tithing was about. And when Jesus talked about it in the New Testament, it was about the heart, your heart condition, which that's what it boils down to at the end of the day. But Paul has made it clear in 1 Timothy 5:17 that pastors should be adequately compensated and they are worthy of double honor. So tithing is still something that's expected. Just because in the Old Testament, it may have looked a little different, looked differently. There's still an expectation for tithing. And then I'll say that, you know, many Bible scholars, you know, believe that pastors should not be excessively wealthy, to your point. And because then they say there are ethical implications, but
I wholeheartedly agree with you that they had a handful of pastors. I believe that they work not only on Sunday, but all throughout the week. A lot of, like I said, I don't speak in terms of all, but you have those that visit the sick and shut in. You have those that go to the hospitals. You have those that have Bible study, and you have a lot of great pastors out there doing the work of God. It's just that some of them, they get caught up in the greed. I'm sure you remember, it may have been a year ago, you know how time flies, but the church with the pastor up in, I want to say the New York area, where they got robbed of thousands of dollars of gold and diamond with their jewelry. When they came into the church and robbed the pastor of his jewelry. You know, Jesus didn't roam the earth wearing gold and diamonds and walking around preaching to people. He was a very humble man. And he went out spreading the word because, you know, God didn't necessarily want your money. I've never seen anybody deposit money into God's account. He just wants your heart and soul.
So you mentioned Jesus and humility, and you're 100% correct. But we also have people in the Bible like David, like Solomon, Abraham, people who were living in prosperity. And I will argue that can be a model for others. When you see that God has blessed those individuals, it shows you what faith and hard work and belief can do for you in a form of prosperity. Doesn't mean that you're guaranteed that you're always going to get money, but the Bible also talks about tithing, and that's something that God has promised us. And I can tell you, you know, young man in my 20s, my wife was working full time. I was working full time, not tithing. And it seemed like I was going check to check and struggling. And I remember a pastor told me this, like, just trust God and see. And I started tithing and moving fast forward. And let me back up. We were living in an apartment at that time. Fast forward, got my first home. And my wife stopped working full time. She worked part time. And there was actually a period where she didn't work at all. So I'm a living testimony of what tithing can do. And I know you're saying not all.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people shouldn't pay into the church and give. I'd like to call it giving because tithing, it sounds like you obligated by the way in society has it now. Yeah, Do you feel like if you hadn't given a certain percentage and gave what you could give, that things would have turned out different? You're thinking your blessings would not be the same had you not given 10% and you only gave what you could give, that you would be overlooked per se as far as receiving your blessings because you didn't give a certain amount?
Well, I don't know if I can get into like the technical or did you give this exact amount, but I definitely believe, and to your point, there are some churches that have done away with tithing and they just right now accept offerings. And they actually bring in more money than when they were doing tithes and offerings. So,
and I do believe that is 100% true. And that's pretty much the premise and the basis of what I was saying. Just give. I recall another video. It was a female preacher or speaker. I guess she was at a mega church and she appeared to be a pastor. I can't recall her name offhand, but she had the microphone and she was asking who will come, who will bring a $5 bill. How many people can bring me a $5 bill? And the increments went up. Can I get 10 people to bring me a $10 bill? 10 people with a $10 bill. You know, I need 10 more people to bring a 20. And people were getting up out of their seats, bringing her money to the stage. And the increments continue to go up. When she got to $100, I just turned it off. I just stopped. Because people were coming and giving her that money just because she simply asked for it. Now, were any of those people obligated or arm twisted to go down and give that money? No, but just the perception and the influence of the word, these people overcome and were bringing the money down to the stage. And I don't perceive that as being the word of God. I strongly believe that, you know, he's not asking for your money. I think that you should be passing along the word. You should be passing along guidance. You should be uplifting people's lives because we're in a trying time right now and it's finna get worse. Especially for different groups of people. And matter of fact, I take that to say everybody, because I think people are going to actually see and they're going to get what they asked for and they're going to realize that ain't what I really wanted. Yeah. But these times they talk about inflation and this has been going on for a while anyway. I just don't like to see people giving and then they looking back and they fall short.
But let me ask you this. Do you truly believe God has the power?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so if absolutely. He does.
But that power does not run on finances.
No, church, but that's not what I'm getting.
Runs on finance.
But what
I don't think God's blessing is determined by how much you give.
That wasn't what I was getting at, though. What I'm getting at is if God truly has the power and he's making – we can't allow – because you said yourself, not all, you said a few, right? Yes, so we can't let them distract us from what we know the Bible says about tithing, what we know about our heart condition. And so if we're giving from the heart, we're doing the best we can. That's all that matters at the end of the day. And God will deal with those individuals because it goes twofold. So the pastors and the preachers who are collecting, they're supposed to do it for the right reasons. Their heart's supposed to be in the right place too. So God is going to handle that part. That's something that they will. Well, but Lord, like you and I,
Going back to the example you gave of you and your wife and the trials and tribulations, or and I put it that way, you did. Yeah. But the things that you guys were going through and the turnaround that that you made, I'm curious to know, do you believe that, because both of you are good people. I know both of you, good-hearted people and good, hard-working people. Yeah. Do you believe that in your same circumstance, that if you didn't give as much as you gave, that you still would not be blessed?
I think going back again to the heart condition, I gave what I knew I could and still maintained throughout the struggle, which those struggles diminish after a period of giving. So to answer your question, I don't think it was so much focused on exactly the amount. And I'm honestly going to say that. But at the same time, when you look at the Bible and you know what God has commanded us to do, and that is to give. But it's twofold too. God loves a cheerful giver. So exactly. If you're not doing it for the right reasons, then yeah, it's in vain. So I didn't go about tithing saying, oh man, I'm gonna make it. You know, now I'm gonna start getting it back 10 times over. I didn't say that. But I knew that God, I was blessed to have what I had. And I was like, I should have been doing this a long time ago. It's what's owed.
Now looking back, and none of us was around during the Old or New Testament, being a cheerful giver, do you think that it has a monetary association attached to it, as opposed to, say, you may be a plumber and you're able to take care of some of the things around the church that need to be taken care of without charging, or your electrician, or you giving in a different capacity other than monetary. Is that noted, or are we still talking about financially? Because you are giving of your services.
Yeah, your services also count too. But I know, like Jesus in the Book of Mark was talking about the widow, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but I think it was it was either one or two coins, and I think that and Jesus was saying, this is the example when the Pharisees were giving abundantly, but their hearts weren't in the right place. So Jesus was right then and there pretty much giving us an example. This is what it's about. It's about your heart. You know, this person truly loves God, truly has faith, and they're giving all they can. So, yeah, to your point again, I don't think that there's this laser focus on this is the exact amount, you know. Alonzo's $5 short, then, you know, he's headed for damnation. I don't think it works like that. But at the same time, how often do we spend that 10% on things that are, you know, really leisurely? We spend that money and we could spend it giving back. And
well, and I'm with you 100% on that. And like I said before, I don't have an issue if, because we go to work, we punch a clock, and we earn that money, and we determine what we're going to do with our money. And what I was saying is, if you have some of these people in the clergy that don't work other than what's at the church, and they do have a salary, some of them have very large salaries, some of them don't make as much, some of them will have to take a second job and do something. What you do with your money that you earn? Well, I hate to say earn,
but yeah, it's earned.
Well, I mean, on your job is what I was going to say, as opposed to ministering or preaching on Sunday, which is a job. Don't get me wrong; I understand that's a job too. But if the bulk of your income is from your congregation, and you live in, as they say, high on the hog, that's one of the things I just want people to be mindful of it. you still had to take care of self. Like you said, you gave what you could and was still able to maintain your household. And that's really the message or the point I was trying to make.
This episode is brought to you by Manna Ministries. Manna Ministries, an initiative that focuses on extending our reach beyond the walls of our church to touch the lives of those in our community and beyond. So let me say this. This initiative aims to share the message of Christ's love through various forms of outreach, addressing both spiritual and practical needs, right? Focusing on providing essential services that enhance the well-being of individuals and families, and reflecting the servant heart of Jesus Christ. Visit us at mannaministries704.org. Manna Ministries.
That sometimes people give because they feel obligated to give, and then they wind up being short. And in some cases, they can't even get the help back from the same church that they gave the money to.
Well, I don't have any examples, honestly, and I'm not trying to just make it debatable. I don't know one person, and I know a lot of people as you do too, and if you have that story, you tell me about that one person, but I don't know one person who has said, I was tithing, I was giving back, and now I'm struggling. I can barely make ends meet. I honestly don't know that person.
Well, and I don't think you ever will, because that way it comes up into one is a private matter, and then it's a matter of pride. A lot of people try to keep up with the Joneses when they can't keep up with the Joneses. And it's going to be a matter of pride. You know, they said that, when people show their wealth, they really don't have it. Because if I've seen people, and I have seen this, get a nice new Mercedes, but you're living in an apartment. Yeah. You got on some of the top clothes, but what does your bank account look like? And you're not going to know that because people keep that private. So appearances is one thing, appearances versus reality. And you're never going to know that because it's a private thing. And then they're not going to make that public. You probably won't see that side of them unless they come and confide in you.
So,
There's been times when, you go out somewhere and you buy this and buy that and knowing you can't afford it, but you're going to do it anyway because of the people that you're around. If everybody else is doing it, then you're going to throw yours out there too. You're going to throw your coins on the table. And then you go home with lint in your pockets and the rest of the folks still got theirs because they can afford to live like that.
But you're supporting my point, though. You were talking about people in the church giving and becoming broke, but I will argue that it may be their spending practices that have gone awry. And so it's not that they're tithing, it's that they're mismanaging funds, right?
So you got to clarify that one for me.
So we were talking about, I said I didn't know one person who said that they tithed and gave back and they struggled. And you said you won't. But then you brought up the point that some people are trying to keep up with the Joneses. And so my argument, which you support, is that they're mismanaging funds. So that's really the culprit in this, not that they're giving their money in tithes.
Right. Yeah. I'm not connecting that with tithes, but you said you didn't know one person who had struggled after paying their tithes. And my point, I was trying to say, you won't know that because they are, in fact, just trying to keep up with the Joneses. If, excuse me, if you went in and you gave $50 and I said, oh, I'm going to give $50 too, I may not have had that $50 to give, but you did, and you didn't have a problem. You would never know that I didn't have that $50 to give, because that's me keeping up with the Joneses. That's what I meant by that statement. So you're saying that you didn't know anybody who gave and had these struggles. I'm saying it's a private thing that you wouldn't know. I feel like, and I'm saying that scenario, I feel like, oh, well, he giving $50. I'm going to give $50 too, so I don't look bad, knowing that I can't afford to give $50.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm coming from as far as keeping up with the Joneses, and you saying that you don't know anybody that gave and struggled. You wouldn't know that I was struggling and couldn't afford to give that $50 because I dropped it in the plate just like you did.
Yeah. But you, again, you supported the point, because if I'm doing it, Rodney gave 50, so I'm giving 50, then my heart's not in the right place. I'm not giving it for the right reason, right?
This is true. This is so true. But that goes back to what I was saying, that the people that can't afford to give, that are giving because they're feeling that pressure to give. Oh, I got to pay my tithes. I got to give my 10%. Or I, even though I can't afford to do this, I'm going to give it anyway, because Lowe next to me just dropped $50 in the plate. And the pressure of giving, blaming, and well, I ain't going to say blaming, but expressing the consent that God wants you to give. Yes, we understand that. But does it have to be a monetary limit placed on it as far as you must give 10%? You know, again, like I was saying, giving could be something as simple as, you know, doing some work around the building, helping somebody, taking somebody home, picking them up that don't have that transportation. I'm giving back in that sense, and I'll be glad to do that for you. So I'm just saying, why is it tied to a monetary value when there's so many other ways of giving?
So I think we both agreed and established that it is a requirement. So I pulled 1 Timothy 5:17-20, and it reads, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor," which was mentioned earlier, "especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages." So basically, Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you're entitled to this. This is something that you have worked for. So,
and I agree, that is awesome, and the way it should be, because they are putting in work. My point is when it becomes excessive. You should get paid for the work that you do. They're out there, the good ones, the right in it for the right reasons, are out there changing people's lives. They are really helping people understand what life is about. There's no book on life and how you should run life. My issue is with the overabundance of greed. And I'm speaking, like I said, the jet planes, the lavish clothing, the fancy cars. And if your salary supports that, then okay. But me sitting here catching the bus in the rain and it's cold, I have to second guess that as to where my pennies are going. And it's like, okay, is it because of my choice of jobs? Is it mismanagement of money, as you put it, or what? But for whatever reason, I just have an issue with that. I'm sitting at the bus stop in the rain, and my pastor goes by me in a Bentley, and just waves and keep on going.
First of all, right?
You know,
that's, you ain't rode a bus since they had high tops, man.
That's me. But there are people out there that are riding buses.
Yeah,
there are people out there that are doing this to make it to church on Sunday.
I don't think
$2-3 in the plate.
Yeah,
you can't. I'm talking about the rich and famous. You've seen them guys on there about jets, and some of them brag about having two jets. One pastor on there asked him about he bought Tyler Perry's jet. Now, I just have a hard time with that. You got that much, you in that demand that you need a jet to fly around the world and minister to people. And the church is supposed to be about fellowship and people coming together to receive the word. You flying all around the world when there is television.
Giving the word.
In this day and age of internet where you can broadcast from anywhere. You don't have to have a jet to get around. How many miles did Jesus walk?
So are you insinuating that they need to walk to these locations?
No, but you don't need a jet.
But
much less two jets.
Who are we to say what someone else needs, though?
This is true.
And I agree that, you know,
if you can buy that jet out of your own earnings, I don't have a problem with that. Get you a jet, get you two jets. But when you buying that jet based on asking your congregation for money and saying that Jesus and God wants me to have a jet, then you really got to take a second look at that.
Well, the only ones who really need to look at it, though, are the pastor's staff, who probably supported, because I imagine that pastor, he or she needed the support of staff to give the green light for the purchase of the jet, and then the backlash of the congregation. So those are the ones who really need to.
Just the simple fact that you asking your congregation, or pretty much telling them, Jesus wants you to have a jet. Now, you already got a jet, but now they saying, I need another one. I mean, I don't know if you up to date, and I'm not 100% on what it costs to maintain a jet. I know maintaining a jet and maintaining a Honda are miles apart.
Oh, you always got to go. I'm messing with you,
maintain a jet and maintain a Honda are miles apart. Now, will they both get you to point A? They will get you from point A to B. Of course, the jet's going to be a little bit faster.
Much faster.
But you're going to get there where you're going. Now, in this era of Zoom and Meets and all that, that's going to get you there even faster. Way less than the expense of a jet. The mega church guy down there in Texas has a show that comes on Sunday, late night Sundays, and he reaches millions of people. Millions of people. He has an old basketball arena that's usually sold out all the time. But I also heard when the storm hit that it wasn't open for the people in need. Again, you can fact check me because I don't know that to be true. That's just what I heard on TV.
Well, the reason I won't fact check, because I'm really just a strong believer that we have to look at our own homes and look at ourselves. And long as I know that I'm doing right, that my heart's in the right place, I'm giving back. I can't be concerned with what some other minister may or may not be doing, just like the same way we would look at it as someone who's not clergy. So,
I understand what you're saying. I hate to interrupt you like that, but you know, we talked before, and I told you if I don't get my word in, I'm gonna lose my train of thought. I'm getting up there in years.
No, but that's why I paused. We're good.
But I think what you're looking at, and what I'm saying, is when you look at the local pastor or minister or the ones that's in your personal life, I'm just saying overall, yeah. When I name these big guys and that I
please don't name them.
I ask him for, sir.
I said, please don't name.
We're the ones that are asking for all this
I'm
money,
joking, man,
and the jewelry and the jets and all this. Those are the ones that I'm speaking to. Like I said in the beginning, there are plenty of great ministers out here. There are plenty of them that are doing the work of the Lord and saving a lot of lives and just doing great things for people. I've known quite a few whose life has changed, and some of them have a good influence on my life. And again, I'm not saying, you know, I know that the church takes money to run. The lights just don't stay on by magic. The water don't keep flowing by magic. I understand all this. I'm just saying, for something to think about, I want people to just be mindful of not trying to keep up with the Joneses. Give what you can give. Do what's in your heart. And for those who are in those situations where the minister is asking his congregation for an airplane, to me, that's something to think about.
Something to think about with Rodney. I hear you. I guess, and I don't know if I would say concern, but maybe I would, is that, because you yourself said this is the minority, right? And so I guess I look at this the same way I would look at any Christian or anyone who's saying that they're a Christian, and you see actions that may contradict. And I think that it goes back to the judging part, where we just got to be careful and say, okay, I got to give my, now we have a right to have an opinion and say things. I'm not taking that away from you, but I don't want to be so distracted by it that it takes away from the mission and the things, the many good things that a lot of pastors and churches that you and I both know, they're doing some great things. And then
absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's I guess that's my biggest point. Like, I just don't want to
get. And that's not my intention. It's just that it's like I said, it's something to think about, people to be mindful of things. You know, you want to take care of home. And that's your first obligation. If you got family and you take care of home, you just give what you can. And that'll be it. Don't, and no need to feel embarrassed or because you can't pay what somebody else is paying. And I don't think you should be held accountable because you didn't pay your tithes as much as someone thought you should be paying. So that was the whole point of what I was trying to say. And those what I consider greed with people taking advantage of their position, because you got people that will believe what their pastor tells them. Yeah, it don't matter what they say. They're going to believe in their pastor because he has been the chosen leader to lead people and to give them the word. And you got people, well, my pastor said this, or well, my pastor that told us, you know, and they're going to believe that pastor, which in most cases they should, and pretty much all they should, as long as they got the right intentions. But, I mean, you know as well as I do, there are some there that it's for profit. I believe it's for profit because they wear the designer clothes, they got designer watches, designer homes. And if you have a second job that affords you these things, I don't have a problem with that. I just have an issue with them getting rich off the congregation, with people getting, and I'm not even going to say, but people not thinking clearly, being caught up and thinking that if I don't do this, God is not going to bless me. Because there's so many other ways of giving when you can't afford to give monetarily. And you will be blessed for your good heart and your giving, even if you don't have the money to give and pay tithes with.
Yeah, I hear you. I do think that it's such a thin line between flaunting one's wealth and just being a model of success for your congregation. And so you're not supposed to. Yeah, I totally agree with you. You're supposed to use your money for good, but I guess the question is, what is flaunting? What is excessive? Because we go back to it again, that we agree that they're supposed to be taken care of, right? You're a pastor, you're a leader of a church. you're supposed to be taking care of, how that looks. And for some churches, it's going to look differently, because if I'm a mega church bringing in millions and millions, then I can afford to give my pastor a little more than I would someone who's ministering in a smaller church. So,
but you would think it would also be that when you're doing well, you're going to reach down and give back. You're going to pull somebody else up.
But many are doing that. That's what I'm saying.
Many are. Remember, in the beginning, I said, I'm not speaking of all.
But even the ones you're talking about, that's what I'm saying. We don't know. Like, I could, those pastors you're talking about could have 3-4 jets, but we don't know what they're giving back. We don't know.
No, this is true. That statement is true. I wish I had the facts on the mega church down in Texas that wouldn't let people come in during the storm, if that was true or not. But like I said, it's just so much out there that you don't know what's true and what's not true.
That is true. That is true also. That is true. We're at 43 minutes now, so we can go ahead and wind it down. I always give my guests the floor before we close out. And I definitely heard your points and definitely some things to think about from Rodney. So, what are your final thoughts? What do you want to say?
I just want people and your listeners, and they don't get a misunderstanding of my views and my points on this. I know God is good and all the time.
Yes.
I think God is going to provide for us, whether we are the haves or the have-nots. And what you do in life is going to be your resume when you get to the pearly gates.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it's going to be based on a monetary value. I don't think you had to buy your way or get points to earn your way into the gates of heaven.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be what's in your heart, what's in your soul, and that whether you live your good Christian life and trying to be a good person. Just be mindful. So, like I said, it's something to think about. Don't put your last few dollars in there when that light bill is due, or they about to turn your water off. You know, he'll make a way. And just think about things. And especially if you have what I consider one of the well-to-do pastors or leaders that really don't need your last $2. You can give some other way. Take care of yourself. Your self-health is going to be better than just about anything else. And God understands that. Yeah. He understands that. Use your common sense.
Thank you. Thank you. Very good points. And I appreciate you for being on. And I'll just say, in to your point, you know, we do know that Jesus had and has condemned greed and greed in the churches too. And I mentioned the Pharisees and Sadducees earlier, and that's real. So God expects more from our ministers. He expects more from our pastors, and the money that we take in, we're expected to do good things with that money. So no doubt about it at all. But I just, going back to what I said earlier about being distracted, I just want us to not be consumed, or I don't want to say obsessed, but with the abundance of others, we just should not spend our time dwelling so much on that. And we have to remember what our thoughts should be directed at, and that's trusting God and the Great Commission, focusing on the sacrifice of Jesus and his offer to us, and that's eternal life.
Amen, and, brother. Amen.
And we all, both of us, definitely believe he died for our sins. So,
without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt.
But, brother, thank you for being on. And
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I hope this is not our last segment with something to think about with Rodney. I enjoyed our conversation, and looking forward to many more.
Amen. Amen. Rodney, y'all. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown.